Haley Zimmerman on WRCO Radio.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy. We're going to put the wraps on our morning session, bring on a little community conversation on WRCO-FM, Richland Center, Wisconsin. That's coming up following the ABC News Update, which this hour is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Biden administration today announcing new negotiated prices for 10 common but often costly drugs that are used by many senior citizens. Here's ABC's Molly Nagel.
The new prices are a result of a historic year-long direct negotiation between pharmaceutical companies and Medicare, made possible through the Inflation Reduction Act. These medications used by millions of Medicare Part D enrollees treat conditions like heart failure, blood clots, diabetes, and arthritis. Officials predict the new prices will save enrollees $1.5 billion and out-of-pocket costs when they go into effect in 2026.
The president of Columbia University has announced her resignation months after pro-Palestinian protests began on campus. Ceasefire talks have begun in Doha, even though Hamas negotiators are not there. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says 40,000 Palestinians have died since October 7th. A Russian court sentencing a former Russian-American ballerina to 12 years in prison after being found guilty of treason for allegedly raising money for Ukraine. This is ABC News. A new study on aging now says our bodies go through significant changes at around age 44 and then again at age 60. Researchers say these changes show up in metabolism, heart health, and our immune system. Across the country, crime rates are down.
In its semi-annual report, the Major Cities Chiefs Association finds that violent crime, defined as murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, fell by 6% overall in 69 U.S. cities between January and June of this year compared to the first half of 2023. Criminologists say a return to pre-pandemic hiring in police departments and a resumption of crime prosecution gets the credit.
ABC's Jim Ryan. Attention Walmart shoppers, you are spending more. The retailer reporting sales it topped almost all expectations that pushed earnings to $4.5 billion in the latest quarter for Walmart. Commerce Department now says last month retail sales across the country jumped 1%. That is the strongest gain in a year and a half. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish dinner. Fish serve from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday and 4 o'clock on Sundays. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
This is Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Like you, we are working our way through the current trying times, making decisions that are best one day at a time. Our priority is, as it has always been, to care for you and your family and pay close attention to all your needs and concerns while doing all we can to keep you safe. Your questions are always welcomed at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
The high temperature today will be in the mid to upper 70s with some rain showers. Some of the showers could be heavy at times. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight, humid and mild, and a low of 65. Clouds to a few peaks of sun on Friday and a high of 81 with some scattered showers. Saturday, patchy sunshine and mild and a high of 79. And Sunday, partly cloudy and summer-like with a high of 81 degrees.
Our southern border is in chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
Gunderson Basketball is excited to announce the addition of board-certified dermatologist Dr. Sarah Enns. With an extensive background in all things skin, Dr. Enns specializes in a variety of conditions and is now seeing patients at the Gunderson Basketball Specialty Clinic. Whether you're struggling with stubborn acne, persistent skin irritation, or concerned about a mole or patch of skin that's changed, Dr. Enns can help. To schedule an appointment with Dr. Enns, call the Gunderson Basketball Specialty Clinic today.
This can't be happening. I wonder if this is covered by my insurance.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, Ryan from Julie Karen State Farm. Wow, that really works, even in radio.
Hey, Phil, what seems to be the problem?
My CD seems to have gone kaput. Is this covered in my policy?
What CD is it?
Twisted Sister.
Well, I would suggest removing that one from the policy, but yes, it is covered.
Tragedy averted. Julie Cairns, my local State Farm insurance agent, has saved the day, providing financial services, bank products, and life insurance with the most attentive customer service around. Give Julie or Ryan a call today at 647-3632.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO and WRCE. Today we're pleased to talk about the Ithaca School District. And Greg Herbst, superintendent, is here, along with Marty Richards and Linda Peterson, who are members of the Ithaca School Board of Education. Good to talk about Ithaca today as we near that start of school. Are you getting nervous there, Mr. Herbst, or not?
I don't think nervous is the word. I think is excited. I think good. Most of the kids would say the same thing. You know, I'll bump into them. You know, I might run over to a store to just pick up some soda or something for the office and bump into a kid occasionally, and I'll ask them, are you ready? And most of them will say, yeah. You know, so it's they enjoy summer, don't get me wrong. But after a while, they want to come back and be with their friends and get back into that routine. So it's coming close.
Once football practice starts and some of the other extracurriculars, it's, for all intents and purposes, almost already back, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. And school and football practice has started. We even have a scrimmage coming up a week from this Friday. So it's coming very quickly.
Indeed. So looking at the school year here, I know you're always optimistic for the school year. Some new things. Do you have some new staff members and whatnot?
We do. You know, there's always a little bit of turnover every year. So it's kind of like I used to coach as well. And every year is a new team because you graduate some seniors. You have some incoming players, of course. So every year is a new team. And it is not unlike that in the school as well. So, yeah, we do have some new professionals. We're very fortunate to have them.
You're here today to talk a little bit about the upcoming year and also possibility of a referendum. I know a lot of area districts, I've had a lot of administrators on talking about this, and Ithaca is no exception, right?
That's right. The board, we do have a special meeting for this coming Monday, and at that meeting, the board, it is what will be on the agenda is for them to pass two different resolutions, but all tied into the same thing, and that is to go to the voters in November and request that they pass a referendum for the school.
Okay, so then it'll officially be happening on Monday, and then does the referendum plan for November then?
Yes, the referendum would be in November, and so once the board, assuming that they approve it on Monday, then what we'll do is we'll start our communication plan. Obviously, we'll do some social media things because a lot of people receive their news that way. Some don't. So we'll also send out a newsletter so people have a hard copy of things so people prefer to read it with something in their hands like that. So we'll start our plan of educating the stakeholders of Ithaca as to why we feel this is necessary and some of the factors that have contributed to that.
Okay. And you got to be kind of a salesman then. Somebody comes to you and say, why do we need to do this? What is your response?
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a great question. And first of all, I would say this. a school district is not unlike your household. And you have revenue and you have expenses. And when your revenue doesn't cover your expenses, then you have to do usually two things. Not one of two, but usually two things. You have to try to find a way to increase your revenue, and you also take a hard look at expenses and see where you might be able to cut back or decrease the expenses. So we have done the latter. The board has made very difficult decisions. I have told them that, in my view, that when you are in a leadership capacity, which board members are, that there are times you have to make very difficult decisions, and they have shown the courage to do that. So more along those lines, you know, somebody might ask, well, what has the board done? Well, I can throw out some examples. Ithaca School District, not last year, but the year before that, had three administrators. There was a superintendent, there was a high school, middle school principal, and there was an elementary principal. Well, last year, the board combined the superintendent and the middle and high school principal. And it makes sense, because when you look at a school district our size of 340 students, it's difficult to justify having three administrators, especially given our financial situation. So the board combined those positions, and that one move saved the district over $70,000. Some other things that the board has done, we have changed our health insurance this year, not changed it in a way that it would affect the amount of coverage that people get, but we went to a different plan. But in talking with our insurance broker, that plan should have no implications to any of the people who are employed at the school. But by making the change that we did in the upcoming school year, we'll save the taxpayers nearly $42,000. We've also gone with a different provider for our property crime and liability insurance, which is going to save the district over $20,000. We did not rehire a district administrative position because a couple of years ago, there were four people in the district office. And there was the superintendent and the business manager and then two others. And so one of those people resigned to move on to another job. And so that position was not rehired. And that saved, by not rehiring that position, it saved the district between $45,000 and $63,000. Now, somebody said, well, why is there a range? Well, the range is because you don't know what insurance package they might take. Would it be single? Would it be family? Would it be neither? You know, if they have insurance through a spouse or something like that. And so, and there are some others. Most notably, just this past spring, the board made the very difficult decision to do a reduction in force with three different teachers. And so somebody might say, well, isn't that going to affect the kids' education? We don't think so. Right. And part of the reason for that is our enrollment has gone down. And so when we used to be a two-section elementary, so there were two teachers in first grade, two teachers in second, all the way up through fifth. And that's fine when you have the enrollment to justify that. But when your enrollment starts to decline, and then you're looking at class sizes of, if you have two sections, you might have 10 or 11 or 12 kids in a class. And as wonderful as that would be, certainly having 20 or 21 or 22 kids in a class is not unreasonable. And the other part about that, and this is important to us, there's a gentleman named John Hattie who does research, a meta-analysis of research of many educational factors. And then one of the things that his research has pointed out, and it seems counterintuitive, but one of the things that his research has pointed out is that smaller class sizes do not necessarily translate into greater gains of educational achievement. There, according to the research, there is a slight improvement, but nothing that, according to statistical methods, would prove significant. So I know that I would have guessed the other way before I read the research. It seems counterintuitive, but that's what the research tells us. So what the board has done with the decisions, many of them difficult, that they've made this coming school year, the board has reduced our expenditures by a range of $512,000 to $578,000. And that's important because, you know, anybody who pays taxes, you know, I don't like taxes any more than the next person. But here's what I do like. I do like good schools. I do like having law enforcement protection. I like having fire protection. I like it when the roads are plowed in the winter. And so I'm not opposed to taxes as long as they're used wisely. And so if somebody asks for more of my hard-earned dollars, then one of the questions is, well, what have you done to reduce expenditures? And that's what I hope I've communicated here, that the board has made difficult decisions to reduce expenditures on behalf of the taxpayers of Ithaca School District.
So it sounds like you've been very proactive, Greg.
Well, we've tried to be. You know, schools don't exist to employ people. Schools exist to educate students. And it is incumbent upon the leadership of a district to do that with only those people who are necessary. And so that's somewhat where the reduction in force came in, that we'd love to have a two-section elementary, but again, with enrollments the way they are, the board taking the action that it did made fiscal sense.
It's kind of a rare opportunity to have basically your bosses here, the school board, a couple of school board members, right?
That's right. They reminded me of that out in the lobby. No, I tell you what, I'm entering year number 36, and I've been in six school districts, which was never my plan. It's just the way it worked out. And so I would say this about Ithaca Schools. I came here 4 years ago to be a high school math teacher. And I had made a comment then because my last teaching assignment was back in the 1990s. And my class average in terms of class size was more than 30.
Wow.
And so then I came to Ithaca and I was asking some questions and I said, well, what's the class size? And I was told it was like 12 or 14. And I said, you're kidding me, which they were not. And so I had asked the question, is with class sizes of those numbers, has there ever been talk of consolidation? And be careful who you say that around because it gets the ire up of some people, one of whom may or may not be in this room right now. And what I was told then and has come to bear from what I've witnessed is what I was told then was that the people who comprise this district and the stakeholders in this school love this school. And all of my experiences in the last 4 years have proven that to be true. So it's been a wonderful experience for me. And I've worked with, I've been in administration for about 25 years. And I would say this with regard to this particular school board, regardless of whether two of them are sitting here or not, these people also love their school. Many of them are alumni, not that that's a criteria that needs to be, because last year we had 22 meetings that these people came to. So these people love their school and they make decisions that they believe are in the best interest of the kids. And I have nothing but respect for that.
Well said. Marty Richards on the school board as a building and grounds. I guess my first question is, why were you interested in being on the Ithaca School Board, Marty?
Well, for one thing, you know, I worked a 20-year career with WEA Member Benefits, and part of my role was I worked with school districts of varying sizes, as big as Milwaukee Public Schools, Kenosha, Racine, down to Kickapoo Lafarge, small schools, in finding ways to bring benefits to public school employees in a reasonably affordable way that would attract and retain teachers and attract and retain staff. So through that, I really started to understand finance, how it works in Wisconsin, or how it doesn't work, quite honestly. I have an opinion about that. But the other thing is, you know, as an alumni, I'm very proud of it, of the school system, and the education that it delivered when you and I were in school, but also currently. Because, you know, we could sit here and start describing the graduates of Ithaca and what they've gone on to do. We have many that were, you know, educated to the point where they could go right into the University of Wisconsin-Madison and graduate. And you know that firsthand. Mm-hmm. I know firsthand that we had a student that was educated, was able to go into the Air Force, and now works in the White House TV, goes with the president, flies on Air Force One, 11 years in the Air Force, and she is doing things, you know, my daughter Laurel is doing things that just we wouldn't imagine. And when you have the kind of facility that can educate kids, whether it's to go on to that four-year school or to go to the two-year school or to go into the military and excel, we're doing it right. There's a lot of success stories there, and I want to continue that. The other thing that I've found, not having a child in the district currently, I still have skin in the game because I rely on students and new graduates to help me in my business pursuits. So I need educated kids that are coming out ready to go and know how to work, how to communicate with the public, have skill sets that work. But also someday I'm going to rely on them to care for me too. Mm-hmm. And that is huge. And I know when you and I were in school, the board, they were a geriatric crew. There was, if I remember right, there was a fellow that was on there for 40 years, I believe.
Yeah, his picture in the annual never changed.
Yeah, yeah, it was like Dorian Gray. He just, there he was. But you know, and that was Buford Faggy. And Buford Faggy had a heart for education and for the community. And he was an excellent role model, I think, for you and me. And
yeah,
that no matter your age, that school district, how well it runs, and the education component is very important no matter where you're at. And what I like is that I've brought some knowledge that I've seen other school districts fight through that, okay, maybe we can avoid that pothole and have some knowledge that helps make things better at Ithaca moving forward. So that's, I would say, I really believe in what Ithaca Public Schools is doing. And I know... I see or hear other districts talking about how they have to work to manipulate to get into small class sizes and give individualized education where that's what we do. We don't have to try to manage or massage a class size to get it down into the 15 or under 20. That's who we are. And we understand that task, and we're very good at it.
Linda Peterson, how many years have you been on the board?
Well, it's been quite a few. Yeah, I think I'm pushing 20 this year.
Okay.
So
why have you stayed with it?
Well, I think like Marty said, originally I am not from the area. We moved up here in 1991. Our oldest child was a freshman at that time. I've had five children graduate from Ithaca. I now have grandchildren at Ithaca. Some of the community members encouraged me. They came and they talked to me. Doug Faber was, you know, pretty influential in, you know, we need you to do this. And, yes, it's been a wonderful experience for me. It's been a wonderful experience for our family. And I want this school to continue for our kids. It offers something. All the opportunities that the kids have, and like Marty said, the successes. I'm very proud of what my children have done professionally, and I'm hoping my grandchildren move on to do the same. And I was really contemplating retiring, and then with this financial situation, I am the only one that has been through a referendum, and that was back for operational 2004. So it has been 20 years since we have come to the community and asked for operational funds. We did have a capital referendum in 2013. But as the board, I think we have been very fiscally responsible. We've tried to do what's best for kids in the community. And now we need the community's support and help. Let's bring that Ithaca pride back.
If I'm not mistaken, Ithaca is among the, that's like one of the longest spans between referendums, isn't it?
Correct. There's only five schools in the state that have not gone to referendum, and chances are they will be going. You know, people need to understand our funding, and I know Marty's going to talk a little bit more about that, but we are being funded right now at the 2011 level. We're just not given the funds that we need, and we basically are $3,258 behind per pupil per year. And as we all know, And if we had some staff here, the state mandates things, and they maybe like it for 5 years, maybe seven if you're lucky. And then all of a sudden, so you've purchased those supplies and gone with that. And then they make the decision, no, we're going to do something different now. Our reading program is one of the new things. There's a new initiative. Luckily, we were on board with that prior to, and we were looking at new materials. So like I said, we try to be very proactive.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've had to make some hard decisions so far, though, on the board this year alone, haven't you, Marty?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I got on the board 1 year. And it's, hey, by the way, we're going to have to make some adjustments here to staff. And it's like, oh, that was nice. We've done a lot of things to, you know, as Greg detailed, to make sure that fiscally it's prudent. You need to do that in any business, your household, no matter what it is. You need to make sure that fiscally things are prudent and that you're getting, you know, I start to get into the business world a little bit when I think, and it's, you're getting a return on your investment, or it's well spent money. I think one way to really show the example of Ithaca, of what's happening, I think we have a great example when we look at, you know, your student count, your enrolled student count, more importantly, residents inside the district. Children that come from inside the district are important in the financing. But last year, 2023 to 2024, Ithaca School District graduated 34 kids. In the same year, in 4K, 21 children were enrolled. So I think that's a really good example of the picture of what's happening. Now, if you think back, Phil, because there may be some people that sit there and go, wait a minute, at what point are you really running class sizes that are too small? And I know Greg talked about that a little bit, but you and I graduated with 24 kids. So 21 kids coming in still is a viable number, especially if you look at some of the other districts around us, what they've been going through over the years. 21 still viable. You just need to have the support from the public to continue that effort. And I've been involved with public schools outside of Ithaca for, you know, quite a few years. And I'll just take you back to 2010, 2011. And essentially one of the quote unquote tools that was given to public schools and to the public to reduce tax impacts to the general public was that when a public entity like a school district needed additional funds to operate, they essentially, through legislation, forced those communities, or those school districts rather, to go to the community and get the funds that they needed. Now, you know, we talk about our state funding is at the 2011 level. Well, Ithaca has been run very prudently. Our enrollment has been pretty strong compared to many other area districts, but we're now coming into the same playing field as far as enrollment, and that's really what's happening. So I just put that out there that, you know, the previous school boards, the previous administration, we're not going to sit here and point fingers, because quite honestly, they were just dealing with the hand that was dealt them, and now we're finally coming in line as far as enrollment with the districts around us to where we're in the same situation now.
Keeping staff, you know, and you worked with the insurance through We Trust, I know, all those years, but that used to be just kind of a bonus that they would throw at teachers, but it's gotten quite costly over the years.
Well, it's, you know, every year, I hate that meeting. You know, Greg will come into the meeting and say, well, we've got a proposal from our insurance broker that your health insurance is going to go up 11% this year. And you're like, all right, only 11%. Mm-hmm. Now, anybody that runs a business knows I'll take an 11% increase. It's just, you know, that's a whole nother political landmine we can get into. But healthcare insurance is so expensive, and it's not slowing down. And in the insurance care world, I could bring some insurance agents in here and they would just tell you how bad property and casualty is bad now, too. So that's just one of those items we can only try to get estimates and try to see what ways we can massage that premium down while still, you know, we have staff that we do care about quite. I care about our staff. I want our staff to come to work thrilled to be there, understanding they're getting benefits that are competitive or better than any other district around, so that they're happy to be there, they're engaged, and they're coming in ready to educate. And so, yeah, healthcare premiums are just, I can remember back in 2000, it was about 2009, I was at a meeting where there was a group that was like, oh my gosh, the school district wants us to share in 10% of the premium, the staff to share in 10% of the premium. And they were just appalled. And in my head, because I had come from the private sector, I'm like, no, that's where we're at. We need to be a team at this point and figure out a way to work together to keep those costs down somehow. And that's really what bore out Act 10 in 2010, was that they weren't ready for that. And now we're in it together. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. I'm really impressed when we talk with the staff at Ithaca. They understand, you know what, we're working at this together. We're trying to find ways to make things run more efficiently, but also cost effective and do a best of class job of educating the students as well. So I really like the teamwork approach that has worked towards these items.
We'll be back with more on the morning show in a moment. We're talking about Ithaca schools and the possibility of going to referendum in the fall, and we'll have more details in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. You know we got the best books. You know we got the best wine. You know we have the best records in probably southwest Wisconsin, and they're the best curated records, and I mean curated. We have the best records, and they're going out to the best homes. You should come by. Come by Saturday when we have two gents here nerding it out over the records. Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Every day there's something new.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
You can join WRCO-FM on Facebook. Get the latest news, sports, and more every day. Visit with our staff, hear about community events, see awesomely funny Throwback Thursday stories, get the latest news, weather, and sports, participate in upcoming Facebook-only contests, and more. Simply go to Facebook.com and search WRCO Radio, or visit Facebook.com/WRCO AM FM. It's just that easy to connect with us from Facebook.com and WRCO-FM.
Tired of counting sheep? Hi, this is Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Did you know that one third of your life is spent sleeping? The 7 to 9 hours we should spend catching Z's helps the body heal itself, activate the immune system, and give your heart a break. Want to sleep on a Wisconsin-made high-quality mattress? Stop down to our new sister company, Bed & Linen, located on Highway 14, Spring Green, and let us show you why we wake up so refreshed.
Attention auto mechanics! TC Auto Works in Richland Center is continuing to grow, and they need you. They are hiring an automotive technician with 3 years of experience preferred and a strong work history. Enjoy highly competitive pay and a full-service automotive repair facility with a fun, low-stress, family-owned atmosphere. Along with competitive pay, you will be eligible for a large package of benefits including retirement plans, paid vacation, much, much more. Call 383-1700 or pick up an application at TC Auto Works, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
Schmidt Woodland Hills, the only continuum of care in Richland County, is on the forefront of high-quality care for senior citizens in our area. Our facility has been alarm-free, overhead pager-free, and restraint-free since 2014. We are five-star rated by Medicare.gov, the highest rating a long-term care facility can achieve. If you want the very best for your loved ones, shouldn't you consider Schmidt Woodland Hills? We welcome your inquiries. Please call 647-8931 for more information.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Greg Herbst, Marty Richards, Linda Peterson are in the studios today representing Ithaca Schools. And Greg, back to you here, and we'll talk a little bit about some challenges. I know it kind of starts with funding per pupil. We've talked about that with a lot of area administrators. You've been in education a long time. You were in Illinois as well. And anything different in Illinois in terms of per pupil funding? Or
no, it's a challenge everywhere.
Is it?
My first superintendency was in Illinois, and that was at a time when the state was cutting state funding. And so, unfortunately, I had the experience then of having to recommend some of the same difficult decisions to the board that I have here, because it was a challenge. I took over a district that had an unspent balance at the end of the fiscal year of more than $800,000, and it should be three, four, maybe even five times that. And so we had to do a lot of things. And like was mentioned before, the faculty and staff knew the challenges that we were facing and the difficult decisions that had to be made. And they were very supportive of our efforts because they knew, just as our staff knows, that the recommendations that we make have the best interest of the students and the faculty and staff and the longevity of the district at heart.
Mm-hmm. The district's been around for a long time, over 100 years, so yes. looking toward the future. And looking ahead here, some things, I know you're facing some challenges, but what are some steps that you can take to possibly move forward in the right direction?
You know, when you look at the challenges that we have, they're not unlike many of the challenges that people have in their own households, so I understand that in some way I'm preaching to the choir here. But Linda had mentioned before about state funding, that they are nearly $3,300 behind inflation per student per year. So the two main sources of revenue for a school district are state funding and local taxes. And there's some federal dollars in there, but the two primary sources are state funding and local property taxes. So when the state is not holding up their end of the bargain, they force the burden of that onto the local property taxpayers. And I want to celebrate something that was mentioned before earlier, too, because this cannot be overstated. This will be, once again, assuming the resolution is passed on Monday, this will be the first time that the Board of Ithaca School District has gone to an operational referendum since 2004. That's 20 years, of course, a pretty simple arithmetic. That's 20 years. And when you compare that to what other districts have done, and I don't like to make comparisons because every district is facing similar as well as unique challenges. However, comparisons are simply a natural part of the discussion. And when you look at the number of times neighboring school districts have had to go to a referendum, having a 20-year gap between then and now, I think is rather impressive. And I think it speaks to the fact that Ithaca has tried to be good stewards with the dollars that have been given to them by those primary sources that I talked about. So other things that we face, just simply the rising cost of doing business. You know, that was brought up about the insurance, how much that has gone up, about how fuel, those things have gone up. You know, inflation hit the school just like it hit your household. And so I want you to just extrapolate the effect of that. So let's say you have two or three kids at home, and the and what inflation might have done to your household cost. So now extrapolate that onto the Ithaca home, if I could say that, with 340 kids and 75 personnel, and you know, so you can see what inflation would do there. Another thing is the decreased enrollment. Like Marty had said, we graduated more than 30, and then last year's 4K had 21 kids in it. So that's also a natural, not a natural trend, but a trend that's being seen throughout the state. Ithaca is not unique in that regard whatsoever. And the one thing about enrollment is, as far as the state is concerned, enrollment is the key figure that they look at when they talk about funding schools. And of course, and obviously that makes sense, because if your school like ours has 340 kids, but then a school in Madison might have several thousand kids, obviously that has to be a part of the equation. Another thing is ESSER funding. And ESSER funding, I don't know if there's any profession that loves its acronyms more than education. And ESSER funding was in response to COVID. And ESSER is an acronym for Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief. And so there was ESSER 1, and then there was an ESSER 2, and then there was an ESSER 3. So the state received from the federal government, I had the number, I was just looking up some things earlier today. The state received in just total ESSER 2 allocations $686 million. So now the state has to decide how they're going to allocate that. And maybe, I don't know if that's accurate or not, because maybe the federal government told them how they were going to allocate that. But here's what happened. All right. What they did is they looked at the number of students who qualify for free and reduced lunches. And so that's the formula that was used to allocate that $686 million of ESSER II funding. Now, here's, again, Marty had said, and I'm going to reiterate this. Sometimes when having conversations such as this, you have to give statements of fact. And some people will interpret those statements of fact as throwing somebody else under the bus. And that's nobody's intent. But people are going to have questions, and they deserve honest answers. And when it came to the ESSER funding, Ithaca received, and this is in ESSER 1, ESSER 2, and ESSER 3 funding, Ithaca received $584,924. All right, so let's just say $585,000 for discussion's sake. Now, when you compare that to neighboring school districts, we were nearly $1 million behind a neighboring school district who received $1.5 million. Another school district, excuse me, that's in our area was $1.9 million. There are a couple with just over $2 million. And so when you compare those numbers to Ithaca's $585,000, I mean, imagine the impact of that. If we would have received another $1 million from that, then we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. And so the next obvious question to me is, why did Ithaca receive so much less than neighboring districts? Well, when you look at the number of students who qualify for free and reduced lunches, one of the things that happened at Ithaca was we didn't receive, we feel, and research has shown this, not research, but what we did last year has would bear this to be true. When you ask people to fill out those forms, all right, some will, of course. Some will not because they know that they're over the threshold of getting that benefit. And then some will choose not to. Maybe it's a pride issue. Maybe it's just, you know, not making it a priority and letting it sit on the kitchen table and the deadline is passed, so we throw it in the garbage. So, but what happened then is because they weren't turned in, our percentage on paper was, our percentage was lower on paper than it was in reality. And the reason I say I know that to be true was last year we made a concerted effort to improve that, and our percentages went up by 10 to 15%. And so if one of the things that the board just passed at the last board meeting was to introduce a $25 per student fee up to a $50 maximum, which will be waived if they simply turn in that application. And it seems like a pretty nice trade-off to me. Fill out a piece of paper, because they don't understand, they don't understand because it's never been explained to them, that percentage drives a lot of state funding, it drives a lot of grant funding, and in this case, it drove federal funding through the ESSER cost, simply by having a lower than accurate free and reduced percentage cost Ithaca School District. I think it's easy to say in the neighborhood of $1 million.
Enrollment-wise, that's one of the things that drives that. Is it still like the third Friday in September, the pupil count? That's what it used to be, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood. So.
Yes, and like I said, enrollment is the trend throughout the state is it's going down. One of the challenges that Ithaca has is if I wanted to buy a house, if I wanted to buy land and build a house in Ithaca, that's very difficult. We don't have a lot of subdivisions. If there's anybody out there with 50 acres close to the school who would like to sell that,
the village could just go on city water and sewer. Right? That would be perfect.
But I mean, I'm just going to play with some numbers here. You know, if there were 50 acres and you could turn those into 200 quarter acre lots, what that would do for your enrollment. The other thing is Ithaca doesn't have a tax base with regard to industry. You know, I think if you wanted to spend money in Ithaca School District, I think you'd either have to go to Richards Insurance to purchase that, or you got to go to the pump.
Or Oakwood Fruit Farm, maybe.
Or Oakwood Fruit Farm. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Oakwood. And so there aren't just that many places where you can spend money around there, unless, of course, you'd like to make a donation to the school. Wink, wink.
There's nothing wrong with that.
By the way, for those of you who are just joining us, this will not make sense, but for those who've been with us from the beginning, I would like the minutes to reflect that I'm in a room with a salt and peppered haired gentleman who referred to another group as geriatric.
And that would probably be me.
But Linda, I was thinking as we were talking that the challenges that you've seen as a board member, because you went through, you know, some things in the early 2010s, and then you went through COVID. I mean, you've had to face a lot of challenges, haven't you?
There have been many challenges for the district. And Phil, moving from Madison and moving our family up here, it's a very unique community. It's a very unique community that really cares and cares about kids. And one of the things that I want to point out is what has been said. Every school district in our surrounding area has gone to referendums more than once. As taxpayers, we need to realize that we need to pass this referendum because we want the control. We want Ithaca to remain local. And you're going to pay those taxes no matter where you go. And I think it has been proven through the years that the school has been fiscally responsible. I personally want to be paying taxes to a school that has been fiscally responsible.
Are you planning some meetings in the public moving forward toward November?
Yes, we are. And just like we did before, we're looking at reaching out to the different areas to actually hold meetings, not all at the school. But, you know, previously we went to Lloyd. We went up to Keysville to the Madonna Hall. And so that to make it easier for people to attend, you know, we have hopefully Willow Valley's church basement as well. But we are welcoming questions. Actually, you can call the school, and I believe starting tomorrow, it will be activated that you would be guided to leave your question. And of course, we as board members are very used to getting phone calls. Mm-hmm. And to me, these would be very welcomed phone calls to address, you know, why we need to do this. We have, you know, one of my concerns, and with talking people, we've made it kind of comfortable. We've kind of protected our community from really knowing what's going on. And, you know, we've gotten through. And like Greg has said and Marty has said, now we've reached that point where our numbers, it's caught up with us. And we need to move forward with this referendum.
It'll be an easy sell for some. And I know another issue is absentee landowners. You have a few of those in the district too,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, we have many absentee landowners, and that will be a concern. And, you know, Greg kind of mentioned, and I probably fall in that geriatric category. I'm not as concerned with some of those voters. I truly believe, because they've been through it. They've seen what the school can do for their families and for their grandchildren and things like that. And they know they're not going to like it. Unfortunately, we're being assessed this year in our area as well, which, you know, I think has some people uneasy. But we need to get the younger people and the younger families on board with what this school can do for their children.
Lots of positives, Marty.
There are. And so, you know, why are we here, and why are we looking at potentially an operational referendum? You know, there's a lot of successes at Ithaca School District. I think the first one that I jumped to, Ithaca School District, you know, this last year was recognized in the state of Wisconsin as having the highest participation of students in the youth apprenticeship program. Being involved where we're working the kids to the point of they're getting into their career and getting that first knowledge and working with partner employers. That's when I come here on tourism, you'll hear me talk every now and then about trying to attract and retain our own, you know, residents, so that we aren't having that drain of kids out of the area, because there are plenty of opportunities right here to be able to, you know, grow their career and their future family, and really have a very enjoyable, you know, existence here. And it's like right now we have folks that are here to visit to honor my birthday, obviously. But to
You're joining that geriatric.
I'm heading there pretty fast.
Geriatric.
It's like a downhill slope with a truckload of concrete behind me pushing. But they come in, they're from Washington State, and friends, just friends of ours, and they're like, oh my goodness, this is just a beautiful area. Well, you know, one of the things with the youth options program or youth apprenticeship program is that we're getting those kids in the relationship with the employers and learning a skill set that they are very much interested in. I think if we would have had an option like that, wow, that would have made a difference in our high school careers. Some educators probably would have stayed in longer too. But the other things, you know, everybody knows, you know, the sports programs have done very well over the years, but that's a concern too. You know, we have to look at options that are positive that can help other area school districts as well, where we partner with them. It's just, that's a matter of fact, or a statement of fact, as Greg likes to say. The other thing that, you know, I feel strongly that's really positive is that we've formed a facility advisory committee. There are some select individuals from the community that have agreed to lend their talents to come in, meet with, we have a facilitator or advisor company, Upper 90, who is at no cost for the advising services, is working with us to take, you know, I always believe in looking at the whole situation. Don't come in with a preconceived, no, we have to do that, or this belongs here, that's where it's been. It's, are we utilizing our facilities appropriately for what we need to offer and attract more students to the area? And I'll just point blank say, our tech ed side, especially aligned with our numbers on the youth apprenticeship, we need to expand that. And we need to offer more opportunity in an individualized setting, right? If you have a class only the size of 14 to 16 kids in a technical education program, we can really make some advancement there and get you know, young children or kids' skill sets up to a level where the local employers are going to be thrilled about that. And partnering with local employers is very important as well. I know, so James Nee, your son, is our tech ed instructor, or one of them. And James has done a lot with partnerships. I know right across the parking lot with Simpsons, they've had several, and James has been awesome. James Simpson, too, has been awesome to work with. So, and there are more. You know, I'm missing several, I know. But that is an area that I have a heart for, that I want to find ways to help those kids that really feel that, you know, their skill set is taking them towards the technical side, and find ways to get them in there and get that education as soon as reasonable, partnering with local businesses.
And Marty, if I could just interject along with that, some of our students, because they've been working with these employees, the employees want to keep them. So they're actually paying for their technical schooling. So the employers also see the benefit because they're having a hard time hiring. So for our students, the more that we can get placed out there with these interests and with the companies stepping up, and either giving them a very good scholarship, or I know of one senior where it's going to be totally paid that graduated from this year with working with this program.
Yeah, how education has changed through the years as well.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Not just making feed scoops anymore. There's a long story there.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Not for air yet.
Yeah. But,
this is the first in a series of morning shows we're going to do with the Ithaca School District, and I think this is kind of the preliminary, getting the word out there, Mr. Herbst.
Absolutely. I just want to touch on a few things since we're getting toward the end. Linda had talked about not worrying so much about the people who have long lived in the area. There's a little booklet called The History of Ithaca High School, 1855 to 1995. And it was first written by a gentleman named Lyle Miller. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that was in 1961. And then it was updated in 1994 by Buford. I'm not going
to. Fagy.
Thank you, sir. And Bob Pilla. And I read this, and it filled me with pride for all of the challenges that people have taken on through the years. And it also filled me with hope, because I think that should be required reading of anybody who attends Ithaca Schools or even lives in the district, because it certainly communicates the struggles and the challenges and the sacrifices that people have made to make Ithaca Schools what it was and what it is. So I think that that's a wonderful thing if you ever had time to read that. Marty had talked about our footprint in the industrial tech classes and in other career and tech education classes. Our shop, to use an old school term, our shop is rather small. The interesting thing about that is most of those classes generate a unique mess that shouldn't interact with us. So you don't want your sawdust near your welding splatter, near your gas and oil from small engines class. So being able to increase that, I think, one, would serve our student population, which in turn would serve our community. Probably my last comment for the day would be I would like to make a promise to the Ithaca families that Marty and Phil both attended Ithaca School District and are proud alumni. The principal at that time was Ernie Majeski. And I've been told that he had secret files on these two men, very similar to Animal House. I think they were on double secret probation.
We were definitely on double secret probation.
So I promise that I am in relentless pursuit of those files. I fear that they may have been buried with the old school. But
we'll hope so.
If there's a God at all, yes, they're gone.
And thank goodness there were no cell phones.
Talking about the late, great Ernie Majeski, if he were alive and he knew that Marty Richards was on the morning show, Phil was hosting, talking about the future of Ithaca schools, he'd think it was in trouble.
That would not be a positive process.
But thanks for all you guys do. Anything in closing, Marty?
Yeah, one quick positive I need to make sure I bring up is that both our FFA and FBLA programs have been exceptionally successful and have wide use. And that kind of fits also with the tech ed education. And so I think there's just the awareness that, boy, there are some really, really good things happening at school with kids. I know FFA has had some national competitions,
yes.
State award winners, and then national competitions, and then FBLA the same as well.
Mm-hmm. And I somewhat highlighted the industrial tech, but talk with Melissa Sprecher, our ag teacher, and within 5 minutes, you can feel her excitement as well. She's got more ideas than and they're wonderful ideas. We just need